The story of the woman at the well continues in our second scripture reading, John 4, verses 28, then picking up again at verses 39 through 42. Hear now what the Spirit is saying to the church.
When the woman left her water jar and went back to the city, she said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him.
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He has told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The U.S.-Mexico border is the place of contact between two peoples, one richer and one poorer. Here, people from Mexico and Central America cross over in great numbers to find work, most often to support their families left behind. Relatively few migrants can obtain the necessary credentials to cross legally. According to the Department of Homeland Security, the number of people apprehended illegally crossing the border in 2015 was 1/10 of the number it was 10 years prior. But in that same amount of time, in 10 years, the number of people dying while trying to cross the border increased significantly. No one really knows whether the decrease in migrants was due to the U.S. recession, the thousands of new border patrol agents, or the 700 miles of fencing that had been erected. What is clear is that over the past decades, easier places to cross have closed, and desperate people have pushed themselves into the desert at great personal risk. Now, we've all heard the range of attitudes towards migrants. Some of us call them illegal aliens. Others of us call them undocumented workers. Some of us see them as a threat to our existence. Others of us see them as victims of globalization and corporate greed. 6 years ago, I visited the border to learn how, as Christians, we might respond to issues surrounding immigration. In our country, where 70% of us identify as Christian, faith in Jesus carries political significance. My border travel group listened to many Christians in Arizona, border patrol agents, humanitarians, religious leaders, and of course, migrants themselves. Jesus' name was invoked to support a range of opinions, from eradicating the border and welcoming migrants to walling off the border entirely. This diversity was especially evident during our visit with Humane Borders. Humane Borders is a faith-based organization that maintains desert water stations on routes used by those making the journey to the U.S. by foot. Their mission is to reduce the number of migrants dying of dehydration. Now, the U.S. Border Patrol reports several hundred border deaths each year. Several hundred. Other agencies, like Humane Borders, say that the number of deaths is much greater. No one really knows for sure. So on federal lands and private ranches, Humane Borders is allowed to place 55-gallon water drums. They're spread out about a day's walk apart. So of course, we all know that potable water equals fewer deaths. More deaths occur in the areas where agencies like Humane Borders are not permitted to set up water stations. So very early one morning, our group drove out into the desert with two Humane Borders volunteers. We were there to service four water stations. We learned how to ensure the safety of the water as we refilled the barrels. We witnessed all too common vandalism. One of the barrels had been intentionally cut and drained. We discovered a bit about the difficulties of the migrants simply by collecting the trash left behind. And we listened to the stories of these two volunteers. Now, predictably, one of the volunteers was really vocal about our Christian responsibility to seek justice through immigration reform. What I did not expect was what the other volunteer had to say. Migrants cross the border illegally, violating federal laws. I'm in favor of tighter immigration policies, this volunteer said. But I can't stand back and watch people die. So this man supported a closed border. Yet he volunteered every week to provide water for thirsty sojourners. For him, following Jesus, the living water outweighed everything else. Now, the landscape of Lent features that very same water. Jesus and his disciples are traveling from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north. To get where they are going, they walk through Samaria, home to a people with whom they had long-standing differences. Like other Jewish travelers, they could have avoided going through this land by taking another route. That's what everybody else did. But Jesus intentionally chose to walk this way. Going through Samaria, Jesus demonstrates that the good news has no limits. It includes everyone, even a Samaritan woman at a well. Now, most women come to the well in the morning, the coolest part of the day, to draw water. An outcast among outcasts, she comes at noon, when no one else is likely to be there. But today, there is someone at that well. Jesus doesn't just talk to the woman. At that well, at that moment, He sees her, really sees her. His words describing her marital history, her present living situation, are not a condemnation, but rather a recognition that she has lived a tragic and difficult life. Abandoned 5 times, now dependent on someone who won't marry her, this woman is in desperate straits. Yet rather than ignore or critique or pity her, Jesus recognizes who she is. He names her challenges, and in doing so, honors her, sees her, values her. He conveys to her that she exists, that she's not invisible, that she has worth and value. More importantly, Jesus offers what the woman really needs. He offers living water. He offers himself. Now, those of us here today who are hurting, maybe we've hurt in the past. Those of us here today who have a past. Those of us here who the world brushes off as unlovable, undeserving. Well, we are like that Samaritan woman. Jesus knows our need. And just like he says to the woman, "I already know what you did," Jesus speaks to us in the same way. I already know that you've been hurt. I know your limits. And yet, Jesus sees the value and the possibility in all of us. And he welcomes us to be refreshed, to be loved in the living water. Maybe this Lent is the season for us to finally recognize that we thirst for living water. Thirst signals something that's not supposed to be that way. Thirst signals the way that something is not supposed to remain. Thirst can be what points us to life-giving, life-saving places that can quench even the driest of souls. So maybe this Lent is finally the time for us to look for Jesus in the wells of our own lives. Because it is at our wells that love is offered to each of us. It's offered to you, no matter who you are or how deserving you think you are. Because Christ is right there, ready to meet your wishing, your praying, your dreaming, ready to meet you with living water, ready to refresh your life again so that you can taste it, enjoy it, and know who you really are. The Samaritan woman with the past, whoever we are today, whoever we were yesterday, we're all the same. Because we know that we are children of God. and we've been invited at our wells to receive from God what we really need. So come. Come to Easter and receive what you need, the living water that Christ has for you. Amen.